kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News In Depth. We'll be discussing the International Day of Peace.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Good evening. Welcome to the KBOO News In Depth. My name is Emma Lugo, and I'm your reporter. Today we're talking with Dan Shea from Veterans for Peace and Mog from Clown Block about the International Day of Peace. Welcome to the KBOO News In Depth. So, Dan, what is happening on September 21st?
Well, the on the 21st is going to be International Peace Day. It's being celebrated all over the world. Various organizations come out every year. It's a UN-sponsored event, and they ask people from their local communities to get involved. You know, we're dealing with climate change, we're dealing with war, we're dealing with all these various issues. But if we don't deal with the issue of creating peace, we're going to be in forever wars. And this is a great opportunity for people to come out and express their resistance to the arms manufacturers, the war hawks in our Congress. And with the pending the proxy war in Ukraine, we're dealing with a pending nuclear catastrophe. You know, if these things continue to go on and we can't negotiate a peace, so it's a great opportunity. We have numerous events going on. So that's, you know, people need to come out. It's time to show up.
Thanks, and Mog, you're working on something that's happening on September 23rd. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I'm part of the coalition that's organizing this entire month for peace and people's alternatives towards peace, and you know, with a really keen eye towards the UN propagating false solutions towards peace and having representation from the largest nations that are influenced by the largest corporations in the world and are actively profiting off of war. So what is the people's alternative? And on the 23rd, my organization, member organization of Resist US-led War called Clown Block, is having an anti-imperialist clown show at Coho Theater, where we are going to be putting a local politician, a nationally recognized technocrat, and U.S. imperialism himself on trial and serving up pies in their face, pretty much, literally, and forcing Elon Musk to, like, redistribute his bitcoins, and then ending the trial with some speeches from local organizers from the American Party of Labor, from Resist US-led War, and from People Organizing for Philippine Solidarity, to get a wide array of perspectives on the anti-war and anti-imperialist movement. We'll also have tablers from other anti-war organizations, like Kalikasan Solidarity Organization, like Veterans for Peace, amongst others. So we're hoping to just, like, have fun and put on a show that puts anti-imperialism in an interesting and digestible way, and then invite people to get involved further with organizations that are doing really good work here year-round.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. And we will be circling back to more about that event. But first, Mog and Dan, if you could both tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you're involved in this.
Okay. Well, I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. I was deployed to Vietnam in August of 1968 in Quang Tri province. And during my time there, of course, I experienced what war is about. It's not these the lies that they tell us from Ma, Pa, and apple pie. War is a lie. War is a horrible, cruel, a killing event. And for me, you know, I survived a sniper bullet that just whizzed by me. I survived a mortar round that came over the top of me. I by friendly fire, And then I went into, we had a mutiny while in the field, refusing to continue forward. And one of the sergeants who had picked me up at the time actually was ordered to go into down this trail that we're going to continue a mission. And he was killed. He stepped on a mine and died, and we refused to go anywhere. They called in a general or a colonel, I can't remember who, on a helicopter, came in and told us, you know, we're doing this for democracy. We're defending democracy in the world. We need to continue this mission. As everybody gave him a middle finger salute, we're not going anywhere. And he called in hot chow and beer and cigarettes into the middle of this battlefield as we're sitting on this plateau on the top of this mountain. And while I'm there, you know, I'm watching a Phantom jet lay napalm over the rice fields down below in a little village. And then the plane crashed. And there we're drinking beer, watching this like it's some kind of surreal movie scene. Wow. And they're taking that body out, you know. So it was just bizarre.
It sounds like something from The Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, well, it's pretty bizarre, but you know that's not what really got to me. What got to me is when we went into the village, and there were people that were walking on the dikes. I was walking through the rice paddies, and I would hear an explosion and scream. And from that point on, I don't remember what happened. I don't remember if there was a massacre that happened or whether I was experiencing a shock from the people that had been killed. I don't know what happens. I still suffer today because of that. But, you know, you come home and you think you put the war behind you. My firstborn child was born with congenital heart disease, cleft palate, and some other abnormalities, and had a seizure at birth. Well, that's all related to Agent Orange. And in Fubai and Quang Tri province, where I was at, is one of the areas which dumped more Agent Orange than most people in most places in 1968. So I was exposed to Agent Orange. I still suffer from a number of things. I right now have some skin cancer. These are things that affect me. These are environmental issues too. These are, you know, it not only affected some 3 to 4 million Vietnamese who are still exposed today, children that are being born with birth defects like my son. I lost my son when he was 3 years old after he had to go for heart surgery, and the surgery went bad, and he went into a coma for 7 weeks. And at the end of the 7 weeks, I was rocking him, caring for him when he took his last breath and died in my arms. And I was devastated, you know, and almost, I don't know how I survived, except that I had a daughter just a year younger, and my wife, you know, I love very much. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here today talking to you. And this is what, not just me, these are veterans. A lot of you hear the story of like 20 to 22 veterans a day that commit suicide, die by suicide. Well, it's because they experience their war may be different, or their children that were born or lost, or they witnessed their friends that died. So war is not, it's not some adventure to go on and test yourself whether you will survive or not. You're lucky if you do. And when you come home, it's hard to get those images out of your mind. And for me, I think about the war every day.
Well, Dan, that's a really good segue. Why don't we go to Mog for a minute and talk about Resist U.S. Wars and Mog. So Mog, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm an anti-war organizer here in Portland with Resist U.S.-led War. Resist U.S.-led War movement is a global network of anti-war and peace organizations, and also, you know, just committed individuals that are united in fighting to end all of the many, many manifestations of U.S.-led war, militarism, and imperialism around the world. And so, you know, that ranges from, like, over-policing at home to sanctions overseas to military exercises around the world and all of the humanitarian and environmental collapse that happens around U.S. military and naval bases that are stationed everywhere. We're a network of anti-war and pro-peace organizations that work to build solidarity amongst all the people of the world to fight back against these wars and their many manifestations that impact everyone on Earth, and dismantle the war machine in general. We build campaigns for individuals and grassroots groups for initiating their own actions and movements to oppose U.S.-led war and wars of aggression in the ways that that shows up in their lives, because it's different for everybody and where you are in the world and just how you're positioned socially and politically. So we're also a resource for anti-war movement building with, you know, information about the military-industrial complex, arms buildup, sanctions, military strategy, etc., to help people kind of wrap their heads and hearts around how U.S.-led war is one of the primary arms of United States hegemony and is one of the leading causes of ongoing suffering across the planet. So Clown Block is a member organization of Resist U.S.-led War, and we use clowning as a tactic to do that education and to do that unity building and to make community-oriented actions more interesting, more digestible, louder. So that's just our tactic, but we are just one of the many organizations across the world that are united against U.S.-led war.
It reminds me of guerrilla theater in the 1980s and 90s. I think I love the idea that you're doing this. I should say, too, that, I am the president of the local chapter of Veterans for Peace, but Veterans for Peace is an organization that grew out of, Vietnam Veterans Against the War and a whole GI resistance movement. So the war didn't just end by just people being in the streets. It ended also because a lot of, like I said, we had a mutiny. There were many mutinies, many people that deserted from the war. And there was a whole GI resistance movement. Veterans for Peace was started in 1985, and we have become actually international. We have chapters in, we have a chapter in Vietnam, we have chapters in Japan, we have chapters in Okinawa, and we have deported veterans down in Tijuana. So it's an incredible organization with almost 3,000 to 4,000 members. It goes up and down over the years. So it's an incredible organization when we count all the people that are involved. We even have some people that are from Russia that are asking to become part of a Veterans for Peace chapter. So I wish Ukraine was doing the same thing, but there is a peace movement in Ukraine. And we Veterans for Peace just had Yuri in our national convention, who has been targeted by the Ukraine nationalists as basically saying he's a terrorist, but in fact he's a traitor, but he is definitely somebody for peace. So you can check out a lot of things on Veterans for Peace. It's www.veteransforpeace.org, and you can look at our recent events and things that are coming up. That's a good way to go.
Thanks. So Dan, let's talk about the September 21st event for a little bit so that people have a better understanding of what's going on that day. What is happening on September 21st? I mean, what organizations, where is it happening, that sort of thing?
Well, it's going to be happening at Pioneer Courthouse Square. And Mark, is that at 6 o'clock or 7? I can't remember.
It's going to be at 6.
6 p.m., that's right. So at Pioneer Courthouse Square, and for some people at Southwest Yamhill and Southwest 5th is where we're going to be on the corner right around there. And it'd be, we'll gather together there with all the various organizations. I can't even say them all. Can you name them off?
Yeah, so we got IWA, or the International Women's Alliance. We got PSL, that's the Portland Socialist League. Clown Block, of course, People Organizing for Philippine Solidarity, or POPS. We got iChirp US, which is International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines on the international scale, and then PCHIRP, which is the same organization but on the Portland level, Veterans for Peace, of course, the American Party of Labor, or APL. We got Code Pink and ANSWER, and Resist US-Led War, tying it all together. So it's going to be a really good show out.
Thank you. And what is the significance of September 21st? Why are you doing something on this day?
Yes. Yeah, so September 21st, like Dan was saying earlier, is the International Day of Peace, established by the United Nations in 1981. And it's supposed to be this day of international ceasefires and nonviolence in all of the major wars across the world. So that, like, the idea is that people, like, put down their guns, come together, like, really break out their diplomacy skills and figure out, like, how to just get along, which is just, you know, obviously really idealistic and not really very attuned to the realities of war. And it's quite performative in that aspect. And it also, our angle on this is that this day does not even remotely start to address any of the root issues causing these global conflicts. And it doesn't recognize or include any of the people's national liberation struggles that are, you know, taking part in wars across the world that are not recognized as legitimate wars by the UN, because the UN is largely made up of countries that are benefiting off of imperial control of these nations fighting for national sovereignty. So largely, you know, like, the people, their representatives, their strategies and their perspectives and their analyses just aren't invited to the table. It's all of these major governments and whoever they're being most influenced by that are trying to negotiate peace, which can never be achieved as long as the people that are actually, like, you know, like, the main working force of the world, the people that are suffering from the conditions of the world, the people that are, like, on the ground during these wars, don't have a say in what peace needs to look like. So the people...
It's to educate people, too. I mean, we come together, so tell them exactly what you're telling right now, is that oftentimes people will come out to demonstrations and, you know, for a march and to stand around and listen to songs and chants. But it's a great opportunity to really discuss these issues. And I think that's what's important. And it's building a movement, or it's trying to build a coalition. You know, the peace movement, it seems like it's been acquiesced over the years and not really been in the forefront of these of actions. And it often happens when we see, you know, if the Republicans were in power, Democrats would be out on the streets opposing war. When the Democrats are in power, it's funny, some of the Republicans are actually opposing war. It's just really bizarre. And the real thing is it doesn't matter who's in power. The war hawks are the ones that are running the war. It's the corporations. I come from the Marines, and one of the most decorated Marines in Marine history is Major General Smedley Butler, who wrote a book called War is a Racket, in which he said that, you know, I was a thug for the corporations, as he went in and basically was running, you know, for the corporations and the banks to take over countries and take over their land from them and their sovereignty and put in puppets. Well, they're still doing that. Now you have people that are the puppets in these various countries running these things. Vietnam War demonstrated that people can defend their country and liberate their country from the colonial powers. And many nations actually rose up after the Vietnam War because it set an example that it's possible. But the real thing that we're in Veterans for Peace is we believe we need to build a peace movement, a nonviolent method of dealing with peace and to find a peaceful way to stop these weapons. But one way, there's going to be Moggs theater piece, there's going to be a war crimes tribunal on the arms manufacturers. So that's going to be taking place in November 20th, somewhere in November. You can go to Veterans for Peace and get in, see that. A friend of mine, attorney Marjorie Cohen is already investigating and interviewing people that will be testifying then about the, and instead of just looking at the nations or the presidents of these countries, going after the manufacturers of war. It's the military-industrial complex that is profiting off of death and destruction, and we need to hold them accountable. And Mog, you might also tell them about PSU's campaign against Boeing.
Yeah, I was just about to say that everything Dan's saying is in perfect alignment with Resist US-led War's campaign to cut ties with war profiteers, because there are many, just an outrageous amount of industries that actively profit off of war, from, you know, tech to development to real estate to even education. So there's here in Portland at Portland State University, there's a program that that prepares students and funnels them into a program with Boeing, which is a very a central and important weapons manufacturer that literally sends weapons off to the proxy war in the Philippines and gets used against, you know, their weapons get used against civilians all the time. And these students don't know that they're being ushered into the military-industrial complex. They're just, you know, told that this is like an opportunity to towards upward mobility, towards making like a good amount of money, towards finding success, which is like exactly the kind of blind participation that is necessary in order for a war machine of this size to run. So this event on the 21st is in large part just to interrupt that blindness and to get people to come together and really start to critically think about how are we participating in, how are we being urged to participate in this military-industrial complex, and also to justify its impact on the world, and like how are we being trained to want this war with China, this war with Russia? How are we being coerced into wanting major imperial wars, and really interrupt that thought process and bring in a people's first analysis that helps us understand that we don't need those wars of aggression in order to survive. We have what we need to survive. So the other part about Resist US-led War, like obviously we're resisting, you know, US-led war as per our name, but it's never enough to just resist. We also have to be actively building an alternative, a people's alternative to this like constant state of war, this constant state of extraction from our labor and also from our bodies. And like an example, like Dan, like just from our livelihoods, like traumatizing each other all the time. So we are committed to building justice, social equity, and solidarity amongst the peoples, and including the recognition to the right of to self-determination and economic and food sovereignty and self-defense of nations and oppressed peoples from reactionary aggression and violence. And we believe in building peace through, you know, like genuine sustainable job development, job creation, healthcare, all of the many facets of life that are impacted by war need to be transformed, and it's every facet of life. So it's everything from agriculture to education. We need to start building unity amongst people to start envisioning a world where all of those facets of life are not impacted by war and driven by war. What happens if those aspects of our life are driven by a people's vision of what the world wants to be, and taking that vision away from these big war profiteers that are absolutely in the pockets of the people in the UN that are trying to distract us and tell us that there's a day of peace happening and we're going towards peace while they are actively continuing to usher in these large wars of aggression that impact all of our lives.
Okay, so we've been talking tonight with Dan Shea from Veterans for Peace and Mog from Clown Block. Can you all remind us one more time about your two events that are coming up on September 21st and September 23rd?
Yeah, and actually we have more than two events coming up. We got a whole month worth of International Peace Day actions. So on the 21st, we have a Peace Day rally and, you know, celebration of people's struggle at 6 p.m. at Pioneer Square on the corner of Southwest Yamhill and 6th. On the 23rd, Clown Block is going to host an anti-imperialist clown show that really starts to connect some dots between how our local politics are connected to national politics, or connected to international politics, with regard to the U.S. war machine and capitalism made into imperialism and how that's the driving force of people's struggle across the world. On the 24th, Bayan, Oregon, is going to be hosting a very important guest, Elmer Labong, or Kabong. He is a nationally recognized labor leader in the Philippines, as well as a Senate candidate on a workers' rights platform. He's touring around the United States right now, trying to build international solidarity, in particular, international labor solidarity with Filipino workers back home. So that's a big event for international solidarity in the effort to build a people's alternative to struggling towards peace. On the 28th, there's going to be a No to APEC coalition webinar on free trade and militarization. For those of you that don't know, APEC is the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation. Come to the webinar on the 28th. It's going to be at 6 p.m. We can give KBOO the link. The webinar is going to help explain what APEC is and how it is a manifestation of economics being driven by major corporations rather than the people, and what you can do to start to take your means of survival back. On the 29th, Portland, there's gonna be a Portland Peace and Justice Works rally for peace and justice in Syria and Afghanistan at 5 p.m. on Southwest Yamhill and Broadway. And finally, on the 30th, join us for a history of human rights violations and rights defenders downtown Portland. We're going to walk around downtown and visit important sites, talk about what human rights, what the human rights movement has looked like in Portland across time, where it's at now, and how to plug in. So it's a big, it's a robust month of action.
Great, thanks. And if people would like to find out more information about your organizations, where can they go?
Yeah.
For me, you would go to www.veteransforpeace.org.
And for my end, go follow Resist U.S. Led War. Resist has a website, resistusledwarmovement.com. And then Portland has its own chapter now on Instagram. You can see where we're at on Instagram, Resist U.S. Led War PDX. And Clown Block also has an Instagram, Clown Block PDXX. There's two X's in that one. Follow all of that and keep up with what we got going on.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight. My name is Emma Lugo, your reporter. You've been listening to KBOO News In Depth.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
KBOO Portland. KBOO turns 55 this year. We're planning a birthday block party to celebrate 55 years of broadcasting community radio. On Saturday, September 23rd, from noon until 10 p.m., KBOO will transform a block near its studios into a festival area. Activities will include live music, station tours, food, beverages, vendors, and fun. This event is family-friendly and free to the public. From 1 until 2 p.m., KBOO will hold its annual meeting and elections for the board of directors. All are welcome to participate as KBOO discusses the accomplishments of 2023 and looks ahead to 2024. Join KBOO and celebrate. Saturday, September 23rd, noon until 10 p.m. on Southeast 8th Avenue between Ankeny and Ash. Family-friendly and free to the public. For more information, visit www.kboo.fm/birthday.